We've been talking a lot about fellowship, and last week we talked about worship, and we've talked about prayer, and we've talked about a lot of different things, and we keep coming back to this thing of fellowship, of koinonia. And in 2 weeks from today, Derek is actually going to be speaking, and he's going to be talking a bit more about fellowship as well. And I think that I love the insights that Pastor Derek has when he shares, and I love talking to him. He's one of the smartest people I know, and so I'm not just saying that because he's right there. First of all, he's a dear friend of mine, but I respect him and his insights so much. And so I encourage you to not miss that, because I think you will really enjoy it. In the introduction to his first epistle, the Apostle John talks about the revelation of Jesus, and then he gives this reason for writing this letter. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you," and this is his purpose right here, "that you also might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So here we see, first of all, John is extending an invitation to join in the fellowship that he and other believers have with God. Notice the vertical fellowship with the Father and the Son, okay? And then notice the horizontal fellowship with one another. The Greek word translated fellowship, when you've heard this word a lot lately, is koinonia. I've been very intentional about using that word. It's a very significant New Testament word. It means partnership, participation, interaction, to have things in common and share. You know, if you have things in common and you share with one another, you better be getting along, don't you suppose? I think it's helpful. 1 Corinthians 10:16 translates that as communion. And this is where Paul is talking about coming to the Lord's table. And he said in verses 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that bread." So each month when we partake of the bread and the cup at the Lord's table, we are recognizing and we are celebrating our unity and our fellowship with God and with one another. That's why it's a time to reflect on our relationships. You know, if you read that passage down there a little bit further, it says, if you have aught against a brother, you should leave your meal there, and you should go and you should make it right with one another. That's why we reflect on that. See, koinonia is about our communion, our fellowship, our participation in the life of God by the Holy Spirit. When I talk about having fellowship, this is what I'm talking about. When I talk about koinonia, this is what I'm talking about. Our fellowship, our communion, our participation in the life of God. That's what it's really all about. If we are not fellowshipping in the life of God, it's empty and it's vain. We've been talking a lot about our corporate worship experience, and much of what we say about this has application to our personal worship experience. But our focus is on the corporate meeting. In a previous teaching, I talked about the importance of intentionality, okay? Knowing why we have gathered, why we come together, and why we keep that purpose in mind. I emphasize the objective of us expressing thanksgiving and praise and adoration to the Lord, to Almighty God. We're not just singing songs when we get together in worship service. We're not just singing songs. We are praising and exalting the Lord God of the universe. We come together to glorify the Lord. That's why we come together. But that is only one side of the worship experience. A deeper understanding is that we come to commune with the Lord. We come to enjoy koinonia with the Father and with the Son by the Holy Spirit. See, koinonia is not just a one-way exchange. Koinonia is an interaction with one another and with the Lord. It involves two-way communication. It is sharing our life with the Lord and with one another. And at the same time, it is the Lord sharing his life with us. To me, that's, I love you guys, and I love interacting with you all, and I love sharing with you, but you know what I really desire is more interaction of the Father with me. I pray that that would be our hunger, all of our hunger, that we would receive more from God, that we'd be so open to hearing, that would just be like a conduit between the Father's heart and our heart, and we'd just be getting that power surge of the Holy Spirit every time that we are together, every time that we are talking with the Lord. That's not just an abstract thing, okay? It's not abstract. It's very experiential. It's something you have to experience. This is why worshiping in the Spirit is so essential. We talked about that last week in John 4:24 with the conversation Jesus had with the woman at the well. He said, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are interacting with the Father, spirit to spirit. That should make you excited right there. Our hearts are expressing love and adoration to him. We are interacting spirit to spirit, but it doesn't stop there. In the fellowship of worship, he also expresses himself to us. Now, please understand, the goal is not to just to declare praises to God. It certainly includes that and it naturally begins with that. But if we stop there, we have come short of God's intention for us. He wants us to enter into fellowship with him that flows in two directions: our words and activity toward him, and his words and activity toward us. When we come together and we are in one accord and we offer up our praises and thanksgiving to the Lord, we are setting an atmosphere for God's presence to be manifested. David proclaimed in Psalm 22:3, he says, "But thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel." You see, we are inviting God's presence when we worship. We're inviting his presence when we worship. We are posturing ourselves to receive him as king and ruler. We are positioning ourselves in the humility of worship to receive his manifest presence. It is a posture of honor and reverence toward who he is. In the New King James, that passage says, "But you are wholly enthroned on the praises of Israel." An interesting side note I came across in my research is that the Japanese translation of that is this. It says that our praises builds a big chair for God to sit on. I like that. If you've ever tried to communicate anything with a child, you can't do it from the other room. You need their full attention. And I used to always say, AJ or Chris or Jessica, come in here. And they'd come and say, get up on my lap, look at me in the eyes. And then I could communicate, and I knew they heard me. Now, sometimes you got to really get their attention because, you know, they're, look at me in the eyes. It's like the dog we used to have. If you'd stare at the dog, it would go like this. Try to look away. It's not a mechanical formula, by the way, okay? To get God to show up and do the things that we want him to do. It's not a mechanical formula. It is embracing the attitude of submission and respect that makes it safe for God to show up. Now, why do I say it makes it safe? I want you to know something. It's a dangerous thing to have the manifest presence of God when the heart is not right. It's actually an expression of God's mercy that he does not show up when people are self-willed and rebellious. In Exodus 19, verse 20, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai and called Moses. He says, come and go with me up on the mountain. Israel was in no spiritual condition to follow Moses up that mountain and into God's presence. Listen to what God told Moses. Verse 21, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. See, everything that we talk about, when we talk about worship, is to prepare our hearts to host the manifest presence of God. See, at one level, God's presence is everywhere, right? He is omnipresent. But God's presence on the top of that mountain was not omnipresence, okay? It was the manifestation of himself in glory. At another level, God's presence is in every believer, giving that person eternal life. And when I talk about the manifest presence, I'm talking about God showing up in power. There is a right mindset and a right heart condition that people need in order to enjoy and experience that. Well, someone may say, well, that was Old Testament what he talked about. Moses had it. As a whole, Israel did not. If you think that was Old Testament, then think about, tell that to Ananias and Sapphira. They were New Testament, but they did not fare well in the manifest presence of God because their heart was not right. I'm saying all this to emphasize the value of entering into a sincere posture of worship as an invitation for God to show up. So we express our praise and our adoration for the Lord, and that becomes a platform to Him, for Him to come into our midst and to commune with us. This sets the stage for our koinonia with the Lord experientially. Then, you know what? Wonderful things happen. Simply because He is there in power. God's presence brings transformation to our lives. The Hebrew word translated presence means face. With open face, we behold the Lord. He looks upon us with His favor and with His love, and we are changed by that encounter. When you come face to face with God, you will be changed. You can't be anything other than that when you come face to face with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, and many of you have memorized it. I memorized it a long time ago. But we all with unveiled face, as beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, holiness is not about coming together and the pastor telling everyone to just try harder this week. That's not what it's about. There is an element of choice. But you know, holiness isn't obtained by even just really trying harder. Holiness is about God's influence on our lives. It's about getting into His presence and getting a look at who He really is. Discovering the depth of His love for us and never wanting to violate that love in any way. It's about the Holy Spirit shedding His love abroad in our hearts. We used to sing a song called In the Presence of a Holy God. There's new meaning now to grace. See, in the presence of a holy God, I am changed. I am transformed. This is the other side of worship. This is the other side of koinonia. As we express our love toward the Father, and the Father expresses His love toward us, when God manifests His presence in our midst, the powers of darkness flee. They cannot stay. Light dispels darkness, and God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, as it says in 1 John. You see, when God's presence comes on a congregation in that way, people get delivered. The chains will fall off. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. People get free. It's not a showy thing. It simply happens because the enemy can't stand to hang around the manifestation of God's presence. You want to get rid of the enemy? Get closer to God. You want to get rid of his influence on your life? Get closer to God. Embrace him. When David worshiped, the Bible says that the evil spirit temporarily left King Saul. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is that in 2 Chronicles 20, when King Jehoshaphat and the people of God worshiped the Lord, they set the worship leaders out in front of the army, and as they went out praising the Lord, the Bible says in the King James that God set up ambushments for the enemy, and they destroyed the adversary. You see, worship is an atmosphere where God comes down and exercises his power on behalf of his people. Be aware that God speaks to his people in that kind of setting as well. 2 Chronicles 20 is a word of prophecy. There was a word of prophecy came giving encouragement and direction to do that. You know, whenever we get together to worship, we're praying that God would lead the way and guide the way in all that we do. Our worship experience here at The Bridge is not just about singing songs. We have a lot of really good songs that we sing. It's not about picking our favorite list or going through this set, you know. And unfortunately, there have been churches that get really comfortable with finding a set that works and sticking with that set. Oh, yeah, it really worked last time. The power of God really fell, so we need to do it again. And that's called trying to work up the spirit. And like I said last week, I don't ever want to try to work up anything. I want to prepare my heart to receive all that God has for me so that when I begin to worship him, when I begin to sing those songs, his presence comes. And I'm changed, and I'm delivered, and I'm set free. And that's the same thing for you. You need to come into this place. You need to prepare your hearts. You know, don't just get up on Sunday morning and say, okay, God, I'm going to go to worship service, so I need to start preparing my hearts now. Why don't you just stay in an attitude of worship all week long? That was pretty good. That's a real good suggestion. Like I said, we can't think that worship is just about us singing and speaking to God. It is a 360-degree koinonia. Do you understand that? It's us speaking to God. It's God speaking to us. I love it when I sense in the spirit that God is singing over his people. I love that. There have been recordings of worship services, and you knew that the worship service was very simple. There wasn't, you know, a big band or anything like that, but there was this high harmony going on that was not being sung by anybody in the congregation. It was the angels singing over the people. And you're thinking, oh, that sounds really weird. You know what? Bring it on. Some songs that we sing are declarations that are designed to encourage one another. You know, think about the old song that we used to sing, There's Power in the Blood. Now, do you think that by singing that we're telling God something that he doesn't know? No, the reason for singing songs like that is that we're making declarations to ourselves and to one another. We are building up one another in the faith, which is exactly what the Bible tells us to do. We are singing a truth that fortifies our faith in God. You see, in the koinonia of worship, there is a horizontal edification going on. Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 19 says this: Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he gives us a warning: Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. There is this one another aspect of worship. This one another aspect of worship. It's only effective if we are experiencing true fellowship with the Father. That is in conjunction with our interaction with one another. Worship is not just us speaking to God. It is also God speaking to us, and then us speaking to one another by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord gives you a word for someone, give it to him. Now, don't go up egotistically and with pride in your hearts and say, I am a prophet, I have a word for you. You need to adhere to this. You need to go humbly. And I usually preface things like this. If I feel I have a word from the Lord, I usually preface it by saying, this may or may not make sense to you, but this is what I feel the Lord has given me. I want to give it to you. And if it doesn't make sense, discard it. If it does, if it rings true in your heart and in your spirit and it lines up with the Word of God, then embrace it and ask how God can use that in your life. Don't be afraid if God gives you a word. Share it, but share it in humility. Paul talks about the way the Holy Spirit uses different members of the body to edify the whole. I think it's really neat. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he writes this. He writes, beginning with verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Notice the passage emphasizes how he does this. He said it is done by the Spirit. It's not just people taking turns showing off their talents. Oh, look what I can do, look what I can do. It is the Holy Spirit prompting this one to give a word of wisdom and to that one to give a word of prophecy and to that maybe that other one a gift of tongues and to this one interpretation of those tongues. In that place of koinonia, in that place of fellowship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating the interaction as he sees fit. And the objective is stated in verse 7 of the passage that we just read, for the profit of all. Not just for some, not for the person giving the word. I may have shared this with you before. We were in an open Bible church at the time back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we'd taken our friends with us to this church, and our friend she's been used in prophetic words in the past, and she came up and she said to the pastor's wife, I'm a prophetess and I have a word for you. And our friend, who was the pastor's wife, later told us that she was kind of taken aback by the way she was approached. That's why I say when we approach people, we need to approach them in humility. I really feel in my heart that God has given me a word for you. And if you would indulge me, I'd love to share it with you. And if it makes sense, then receive it. And if not, discard it, you know. But you see, these gifts are to be used for the edification of the whole congregation. That, to me, is true koinonia. That is true fellowship. When we are using our gifts that God has given us, the spiritual gifts that God has given us, to speak into other people's lives. You know, you can tell when a word is coming from the Lord because it uplifts the meeting, you know. It lightens the load and it strengthens the hearts of all the people. It brings additional life into the room. When something is done in the flesh, the opposite happens. And sometimes it brings a heaviness to the meeting. I remember in one church we were at, this guy got up and he was, you know, I'm on the platform and he was over here on the right. Okay, there's about 700 people in the church at the time. And he's over here on the right and I'm sitting on the platform and the maybe I was leading worship and it was right during the worship. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he started off, and man, I tell you what, the word, he was just like, oh yeah, Lord, speak to us, speak to us. It was so good. And all of a sudden he took a left turn. And you could see where the spirit left and the flesh took over. I mean, it was so visible. It was just so noticeable that you could just tell where the spirit left, and this guy just, and he kept going. And so we talk about when we get a prophetic word, what'd you hear? And we spoke about that, and we said, you know, we believe that up to this point it was God. It was truly God, and then our humanity sometimes take over. And it was done tactfully, but how do you get correction unless you get correction, right? Every action is either bringing life to the meeting or it is bringing it down. Every action. It may be to a small degree or to a larger degree, but all kinds of dynamics are going on in a worship service. You bring garbage and baggage with you every time you come in. Everybody has their baggage. Everybody is going through something. And the enemy may really have been beating you up. But you know what? As we talked last week, you know, you may have been thrown in jail not in a physical sense, but you may have been thrown in jail in your mind and in your heart all week long because the enemy was just beating on you and accusing you and all of these things, and you were just beat up. But you know what? The choice, I talked a little while ago, but there is a choice involved, and you can choose whether you're going to listen to that lie or not. And so when we come together, come prepared to worship. As we seek the Lord in our corporate meetings, as we gather together in the spirit of true fellowship, in the spirit of true koinonia, understand this: our purpose when we come together is to edify and to build up one another. It's not to tear anybody down. Our purpose is to glorify the Lord through our song, through our word, through our heart response to Him, and to be still and know that He is God. And why do we do that? We do that so that we can hear His voice and hear His directions. And then that way we can love others the way that He has taught us to love. And He showed us to love one another. That's why we come together. That's why we have true fellowship. That's what it means to have true fellowship. Next week I am going to give you three keys to hosting the presence of God. And it would have been way too long if I'd have done it all in one Sunday. So, if I were to give you an assignment for this week, what do you think it would be? Anybody? Fellowship? Practice the presence of God. Chris, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, try to reach out to people who maybe don't have faith in their life yet, and what your testimony and spread the good news, I guess.
Okay. David. Have you ever had those days when you have this beautiful Christian song going through your head, and it's all, and Sue's had one going through her heart all week long. It's just like, it's just, and there's times when God is ministering to our spirit through some of these worship songs. And if a song is going over in your head, there's probably a purpose for that. God is trying to just give you that healing balm for your spirit. You know, because let's face it, we have distractions in life, don't we? Don't think it's just a song. I mean, sure, we probably have all sorts of worldly songs going through our heads every once in a while. I like to dispel those as quickly as I can and get the Christian songs in there to feed my spirit, to feed my soul. You know, I'm not preaching against secular music. I'm just speaking for getting in tune with spiritual Christian music. Tiffany.
I just want to share
There's nothing wrong with reminding God of what the Bible says. Maybe it's more for you to be built up in your faith than anything, because he knows what it says. But, you know, maybe you need to get it off your chest, and then the Lord's going to use that. By it's an act of submission to yourself, an act of giving up your own desires. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with telling God how you feel. He knows already. You might as well speak it out and then let him minister to you. Because sometimes when you hear yourself speaking something, when you actually hear you speaking the words, it's like, oh, I don't want to go there. One last thing I want to share, and then we're gonna go, is I've been leading worship for, oh my goodness, nearly 50 years. And you've heard my stories. You know, I've shared lots of stories and lots of experiences. But one of the things that I've noticed more than anything as a worship leader and a pastor who led worship as a pastor for many years and who leads worship on occasion now, just to give our wonderful worship leader a break, is this. There have been many times when, as a worship leader, I felt like we were right at the threshold of stepping into his presence, but yet people just were afraid to lose control of themselves and step over the threshold into what God has for us. That will happen when our hearts are pure before him. That will happen when we are doing everything that we can do in our own power and through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in the way that he has called us to walk and not fear stepping over the threshold into worship. We've had glimpses of that at times. I think at those times when we've had those glimpses and we feel like, oh, wow, this is the most incredible worship service we ever had, I think we're on the threshold. I don't think we've stepped into the presence of God. Because I believe if we stepped into the presence of God, most of us couldn't even stay on our feet. I've been there, and I tell you what, it is the most refreshing place to be. It is the most humbling place to be. But it is the most awesome place to be. So I encourage you to try to put aside those fears. Sometimes it's a control issue, because then we feel we're going to lose control. I led worship in a church where as soon as the Spirit started moving, it was like the pastor quickly got up and changed the order of service because he felt like he wasn't in control anymore. The Holy Spirit was about ready to take over. We don't want to quench the Spirit in any way. But you know what? The thing that I said about choice is that you have got to prepare your... I can't prepare your heart for you. I can bring you to the water. And as Leanna leads worship and others who lead worship, we can bring you there, but you've got to choose to step in. You know, there's a power that's released. And in the Old Testament, and I'm hoping I'm not getting into next week's sermon, because... And that's really good, too. I mean... If you like this one, I think you're going to love that one next week. Anyway, because I sure did. That's where the sequel's better than the original. No. And I just forgot what I was going to say. See? I shouldn't do that, should I? Thank you. Thank you. It came back. It's meant to be. Remember in the Old Testament when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant? The waters didn't part until the priest took the first step in. And it is in next week's. So just a little preview of next week. The waters didn't part. And the Bible says that he stopped the water, I think it was either 13 or 16 miles upstream, so that the children of Israel could walk across on dry ground. So if you're at the water's edge, God's waiting for you to take that step, and he will part the waters for you. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, would you please? Who do you say you are? You are the living God. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that you are exactly who you say you are. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to get a vision and understand completely, to know and trust who you are, to get a glimpse of you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that our week, between now and next Sunday, I pray that our week could be filled with us getting up every morning and getting into your presence and getting into your word and fellowshipping with you and having that fellowship, that koinonia going between you and us, and then us and those around us, Father. Give us those words to share, those words that edify and build up one another. Lord, may a word that would tear down or to bring heaviness, Lord, may that just not even come across our lips at all. Lord, I pray that this week would be a week of making that decision, of making a choice to step out into uncomfortable territory with you and know that you will take care of the rest. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you now. Guide us and direct us and go with us in all we do. I pray this in Jesus' name.